If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16. A word about redeeming the time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Paul writes, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And let's pray. Lord, just thank you for your word, and I pray that you would just open our eyes, Lord, to how evil this world is and how much we need to be redeeming that time and doing the things, Lord, you called us to do before you come again. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last November the 8th, during the midterm elections, people in Montana voted down a law that would have required doctors to give life-saving care to babies who survived an abortion. Now think about that. What kind of black-hearted monster would vote against trying to save the lives of innocent unborn babies who've been butchered by an abortion doctor? And folks, that's in red state, God and country, Montana. And in California, people voted for after-birth abortion, but voted against fruit-flavored cigarettes. See, it's perfectly fine to murder babies even days after they're born, but God forbid that a kid would ever smoke fruit-flavored tobacco before they turn 18. God help us, people. That's what you call a depraved mind. The days are dark, Christians, and they're just getting darker. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do about it. We turn today to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. In this part of Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is telling us how we need to live in the dark as children of the light. And our text today is telling us, because the days are evil, we need to redeem the time. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we don't have 1 second to lose in doing everything we possibly can for the kingdom of God before Jesus comes back. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, tells us 3 things that we need to do to redeem the time because the days are evil. And let's look and see what those 3 things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to redeem the time, we need to wise up and understand what is really going on. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 15 and 16. So don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't get your news from Instagram. Turn off fake news, fake books, ScrewTube, and that kind of Chinese communist spyware called TikTok. Don't be distracted by Rihanna's baby, Taylor Swift tickets, or pumpkin spice Oreo cookies. Verse 15, be very careful how you live. Heads up, be alert, don't be stuck on stupid. Understand what is really going on in this country. Wise up. Verse 16, we need to wise up and realize that the days are evil. And we saw that in the midterm elections. The first major elections since the COVID pandemic. Folks, nobody alive had ever seen anything before like was done to this country in the last 2 years. In spite of the greatest attack and assault on personal rights and freedom since the days of slavery. In spite of all the lies about the COVID virus, the rigged PCR tests, the unnecessary lockdowns that caused huge spikes in substance abuse and suicide, senseless masking, having our businesses, schools, and churches called non-essential and closed, in spite of no jab, no job. In spite of the purposeful destruction of the economy, the energy industry, and the military, record high inflation and gas prices, supply chain disasters, food shortages, all on purpose, the censorship and canceling of our right of free speech, the indoctrination of our children with critical race theory and LGBT propaganda, in spite of all of that, the Republicans, the party not in power, never took the Senate and barely took the House. So the supposed huge red wave turned out to be nothing more than a tiny nosebleed. Folks, if the totalitarian crap storm that we've been in for the last 2 years isn't enough to make people wise up, I don't know what will. God help us, folks, if we can't even vote out evil people who are trying to force the chemical castration of children, then it really is over with this country for sure. Pennsylvania. Elected radical John Fetterman, who does not even have the mental capacity to answer questions from reporters. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who was so tyrannical during the lockdown, she made it illegal for the people in her state to even go outside. And she was reelected in a landslide. 80% of the American people say the country's going in the wrong direction. And yet Americans turned out in droves to vote for the exact same people who are taking it in the wrong direction. And you know why? You know what the biggest issue was? You know what the number one reason was? Abortion. See, the country can go straight to hell, but we just got to keep killing them babies. America is dying, folks. The days are evil. We got to wise up and realize the left really is trying to destroy this country. And when I say that, people go, Kevin, that's not true. They're not doing that. People wise up, they are doing it. Harvard Law professor Ryan Dorfler said this, "The Constitution needs to be eliminated along with America itself because the old evil order is just in the way of the kind of country that we really want." The southern border today purposely is as wide open as the Chicago Bears defense. And just last week, a Washington, D.C. judge threw out Title 42, opening the floodgates even more. Defund the police and woke prosecutors are letting criminals loose right and left, turning our major cities into shooting galleries. Fentanyl from China is coming up from Mexico, killing 500 Americans a day. No God, no borders, no freedoms, no prisons, no elections. What America voted for on November the 8th was the New World Order. God help us, people. God help us. We need to wake up and realize the real cause, though, is not political. It's spiritual. Because America's forgotten God. Less than half of all Americans are even members of any kind of a church today. Only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. 97% of teenagers in this country have never read one verse of Scripture in their entire lives. Fewer people believe in God now than at any other time in the history of our country. Picture you see on the screen. Just in time for Christmas, the Holy Spirit Ouija board. I kid you not. So now you can have a seance with Jesus Christ. God help us, people. Jesus does not have to be conjured up like a demon spirit. We already have a way to communicate with Him. It's called prayer. The days are evil. Last October the 4th in New York City, a mom named Crystal Thomas was arrested for child abuse when teachers at her son's school found that she had gotten him an arm tattoo. Now, if that son had been a daughter and had been pregnant, she could have legally gotten him an abortion. If he said he was trans, perfectly fine to cut his junk off. But you get a minor a tattoo, now that crosses the line. Folks, no nation can survive this kind of stupidity. Coming soon to your kid's school. That movie, Mommy Has a Mustache. Here's part of the trailer for that movie.
What's the first question?
Katie, can you be a girl and have a boy body? Or be a boy and have a girl body?
Yes, that's transgender.
Can this person be a parent?
Yes, my dad.
I feel like I'm not really a boy or a girl.
Who the God is it?
Pushing transgenderism on kids. Sponsored, of course, by Bayer Pharmaceuticals that just so happens to have a drug out now called Sepraterone that feminizes guys. Bayer Pharmaceuticals is the exact same company that experimented on children in Auschwitz in World War II, and now they want to experiment on your children in 2022. And people say, well, Kevin, they're not really doing that. That's not true. That's not going on. People wise up. They are doing it. They're doing it all over the country. We got to wise up and realize what time it is. Because we really are living in the last days. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Next picture. The end of all things is near. And people, that was written 2,000 years ago already. See the Bible chart? The list of all the events the Bible says are going to happen in the end times. We are right there in the time known, the perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, right before the rapture and the time of the great tribulation. I've been studying the end times since I got saved almost 40 years ago. People, we have never seen more Bible prophecy being fulfilled right now than we are right now. Never before so much Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Folks, listen to me. It's this close to midnight. This close. And we need to redeem the time because we have absolutely no idea. No idea how short the time really is. We've got to redeem the time because of the times we're in. And the picture you see on the screen shows it. Last November the 6th in New Hampshire, a 19-year-old biological guy named Brian Nuant, who pretends to be a girl, won the title Miss Greater Derry of 2023. Not Greater Derry Air, but Greater Derry. So Brian Nuant became the first transgender to win a contest in the Miss America organization. And he also won a college scholarship for 17 to 24-year-old young women and also won the right to represent New Hampshire in the Miss America pageant this coming April. But folks, look at that picture. Remember the old Mr. Rogers song? One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. Can you tell which thing is not like the other? Of course you can, because Stevie Wonder could see it in a second. That is not a girl. That is just a guy trying to look like a girl and not doing a very good job because that big lummox is twice the size of all the other girls in that picture. And how do you think those girls feel? Knowing that they were cheated out of a chance to be Miss America by a poser with a brain disorder and judges who wanted to be woke, so they picked that ugly, ugly man over them. Genesis chapter 5, verse 20. There's only two genders, folks, and you can't switch them back and forth. So the only wave in America right now is not red. It is a rainbow LGBTQ tidal wave that is sweeping across this country, drowning us and dragging us to the bottom of the sea. And sadly enough, that picture represents everything that's going on in America today. Especially in the last 2 years. This nation is in rebellion against God and His Word. With a massive PSYOPs campaign to get you to think emotionally instead of rationally and biblically. And to convince you that what you see isn't what you really see. And that evil is really good. And that good is really evil. And to intimidate you into accepting it and celebrating it. So that you don't get canceled and called a racist. So Christians, in these last days, in the days of Lot, we need to wise up and be transformed by the renewing of our minds and redeem the time and work the works of Him who sent us even more, because this country needs us Christians and the light of Jesus Christ like nobody's business. Amen. The first thing that we need to do to redeem the time, we need to wise up. Amen. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to redeem the time. We not only need to wise up, we also need to stand up. To stand up for what's right. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verses 15 and 16. That word redeem in the Greek literally means to buy up. So buy up and use every opportunity that you get to stand up for what's right and for what's true. But the problem is, how many Christians are actually doing that today? Because I've got to tell you, the biggest problem in America right now is not with the White House, as bad as that is. The biggest problem with America today is God's house. The reason the country is so screwed up is because the church is so screwed up. Famous historical Church of the Covenant, Boston, Massachusetts, has a big sign out front now that says this. And God said, protect abortion access for all. Ensure Black Lives Matter. Defend LGBTQ rights. Abandon fossil fuel. Abolish prisons. Blah, blah, blah. God said, protect abortion access for all. God said that? Where? Why? Destroying the lives of innocent unborn babies. On what planet is that the will of God? But see, that's the church in America in 2022. Too many Christians are not going to stand up because they've already sold out. Christians, we've got to take a stand. Christians, we're going to take a stand against the vaccines? Because how much more evidence do you need to know that the whole thing was a scam? Bill Gates already admitted they knew from the very beginning that COVID would really only kill the very old and the very sick. The CDC already admitted they purposely inflated the number of COVID cases and COVID deaths. White House Dr. Deborah Birx admitted they knew from the very beginning that the vaccines would not keep you from getting COVID. Pfizer executive Jeanine Smalls admitted they knew from the very beginning the vaccine would not keep you from spreading COVID or transmitting it to other people. I could go on and on. So all you COVIDians who called us Christian selfish vaccine deniers who wanted to kill grandma, we're waiting for our apology. Dr. Anthony Fauci and his National Institute of Health, in violation of federal law, collaborated with the Chinese Communist Party to create a bioweapon called COVID-19. Then in an act of international bioterrorism, the globalists used it to get Donald Trump out of the White House, to put Joe Biden and the New World Order in the White House, to take control of all the world's resources, wealth, and people, and eventually get everybody to take the digital ID and the mark of the beast. And you show me one single piece of evidence that proves me wrong. You show me one single piece of evidence, and I'll eat it. And people just look. Just look at the damage that this vaccine has caused. Increased incidence of all diseases in all age groups. Explosion of cancer cases. Studies out of Switzerland show all vaccinated people have some kind of heart damage, and 30% require hospitalization. As of November the 1st, 976 totally healthy, vaccinated professional athletes all over the world have died from myocarditis. Increased infertility problems, 21% increase in miscarriages, 552% increase in deaths among children in Europe. One out of four kids in America now have a chronic disease. I could go on and on. And people, that's not conspiracy, that's evidence. And why all the damage? Because the spike protein that vaccine causes your immune system to produce attacks 28 different organ systems in your body. So now we got perfectly healthy 10-year-old kids dropping dead in the lunch lines at school. 20-year-old college football players in the prime of their lives having grabbers on a practice field. And the doctors are running around saying, no, it's perfectly normal. That's totally normal. Folks, in what kind of alternate universe is that normal? Well, sudden adult death syndrome, SADS, it's like SID, sudden infant death syndrome. We have no idea why it happens. See the propaganda sign right there? SADS not linked to COVID-19 vaccine. People, that's an absolute lie, and they know it's a lie. A lot of people die within 3 days of getting the jab. Most people are going to die 3 to 5 years from that. So the body count that's piling up today is absolutely nothing compared to the death march that's still coming down the road. And Christians, what do we need to do about it? You take a stand. Not one more shot, not one more vaccine, not one more booster for yourself or especially for your kids. Because J.B. Pritzker right now is this close to mandating COVID shots for every kid in an Illinois public school. And grab your ankles. The sky's falling again because the American Medical Association is already warning about that coming triple-demic, the COVID flu RSV combo platter. So shut up, line up, and jab up and get your DNA-altering Franken shot ASAP or you're going to die and your kids are going to die. Everybody's going to die. No. Not again. Never again. Not one more shot, not one more booster. And if somebody hassles you about it, you tell them that you identify as trans-vaccinated, and that should get you out of the problem immediately. Stand up for what's true and for what's right. Christians, let me ask you. Did you stand up for what's right by the way you voted during the midterm elections? Because there's a lot of Christians who obviously went ahead and voted for the dark side on November the 8th. And if you're one of those Christians and you're listening to this sermon right now, I got to ask you something. How could you do that? How could you vote for people who glorify things that God condemns? You don't vote your party. You don't vote your pension. You don't vote how your union rep tells you to vote. You vote how God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God tells you to vote. You vote your faith. How could you vote the way you did? You say, well, Kevin, how I vote and who I vote for, that's a personal thing. But yeah, but see, He's a personal God. And Lord of your life, which includes Lord of every single area of your life, which includes the way you vote and who you vote for. Or at least He's supposed to be. We stand before God on Judgment Day. I'm not going to have to explain to Him why I voted for killing babies and queering kids. You will. And the only thing I can say, good luck with that. We taking a stand for what's right? We taking a stand for what's right with these elections? Because these elections were stolen too. Sabotaged. The left knows that us conservatives show up and vote in droves on election day. So what do you know? Last November the 8th, Maricopa County, the key county to the swing state of Arizona, all of a sudden one-third of all the voting machines don't work and the tabulators don't work. Stop me if you've heard this before. So conservatives were told to go ahead and vote and put their ballot in door number 3. It would be counted later. But because the voting lines were backed up for so long, they told conservatives, well, just go vote in another precinct. But when they got to the other precinct, that precinct said, no, you already checked into the original precinct. You got to go back there. So a lot of conservatives got so frustrated, they just went back home, got their mail-in ballot, tried to turn that in, but it didn't count because the machine said that they'd already voted. And then in door number 3, mysteriously, for some reason that nobody can understand, all the ballots that didn't get counted got mixed up with the ballots that had already been counted, so those votes got invalidated. And then 2 leftist judges in Maricopa County refused to let the polls stay open even 1 second longer, so that the conservatives who never got to vote all day long could really vote. Folks, there's your real voter suppression. See, the left has figured it out. The left doesn't even campaign anymore. Joe Biden, John Fetterman, Katie Hobbs, you just hide in your basement and refuse to debate. Then on election day, your goons go out and harvest ballots from Never Never Land to Middle Earth, and then the mob bosses count them until the Democrat wins. And if you say one thing about it, you're an election denier. Same old story, same old song and dance, and it is an absolute disgrace. It's one of the reasons why there's a hell. Christians, are we taking a stand? We taking a stand here in Illinois? Because the left has absolutely destroyed the state. And the crazy thing is, half the people here in the land of the lost absolutely love it. I got emails on election night from lefties who obviously watch our live stream sermons just saying, Kevin, we won and you lost. But let me ask you this morning, in Illinois, what did you win? Illinois has the highest pension debt for government employees of any state in America. The highest property taxes in the entire nation. Illinois has the highest gas taxes. Illinois is the worst state in America for doing small business. The 3rd worst unemployment rate, the 2nd worst state to retire in, and Illinois leads the nation in the number of people moving away. Illinois has lost over 1 million citizens in the last 8 years. What did you win? And the left is too stupid to connect the dots and realize what's destroying the state is exactly what you're voting for. So I guess things are just going to have to get worse to get people to wake up. And they will get worse. The union power grab amendment passed here in Illinois. So now the sky's the limit on what state employees can ask for and what the state legislature can give them. Which means your property taxes are going to go up $2,500 a year. And even more people and more businesses are going to flee this state like rats from a sinking ship. And this coming January the 1st, when J.B. Pritzker's Woke Safety Act takes effect, and all the thugs and the rapists and the murderers are turned loose, lock and load people, because it's every man for himself. 118 legislative seats in Illinois, 39 of them are Republican. 39. And you know why? Because I can count on one hand the number of Republican leaders in this state who have enough guts to ever actually stand up for anything that matters. Stand up! Christians, we got to stand up for this state. We've got to stand up for this country. And I realize somebody's hearing this right now saying, Kevin, you're just a Christian nationalist. And in case you don't know, that term was pushed by leftists and never-Trumpers back in 2016 to refer to any Christian who loves this country and wants to keep it free. And to them, it's a dirty word, and being a Christian nationalist, to them, is the unpardonable sin. We've had people leave this church because they say, you here at Fox River, you're nothing but Christian nationalists. And folks, I got to tell you, I'm sick and tired of hearing it. Here's how the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Michael Curry, defines Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism is not Christianity. It preaches division, violence, and disinformation, and gets Christians to deny election results, demonize their opponents, attack equal rights, spread discrimination, and use violence to gain power. Christian nationalism falsely claims that America was founded as a Christian nation, claims that Christians are the only real Americans, and overlaps with white supremacy. Christian nationalism is the number one problem with our country today, and it is by no means biblical Christianity. Are you kidding me? Because this is the exact same bishop that says God is a woman and Jesus is gay. This is the exact same bishop who pushes abortion, marries gay couples, and ordains transgender priests. So don't you dare lecture me about biblical Christianity when you don't even believe the Bible is the Word of God or follow it yourself. And the reason that we say America is a Christian nation is because that's what the founding fathers say. And they should know because they're the ones who founded it. John Adams said this, America itself was founded on the principles of Christianity. Patrick Henry said this, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that America was founded on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. John Adams again, the Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, and by religious he means Christian. John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, says all of America's political leaders should always be Christian believers. 1894, the United States Supreme Court declared once and for all, America is a Christian nation. So if you're going to deny that, you are denying historical fact itself. And if you're going to say that Christians shouldn't stand up for this country, you're not only going against what the founding fathers say, you're also going against what the Bible says. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says, God is the one who determines where we are born and the countries we're placed in. And folks, God did not put us in Uzbekistan or Outer Mongolia. He put us in the United States of America, created and raised up by God to spread the gospel all over the world. You say, but Kevin, the Bible says we should talk about Jesus. Yes, but the Bible says other things too. Like Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. Seek the good of the country that God put you in. And if God wrote that to Jewish slaves in exile in Babylon who had no recognized God-given rights, how much more should we be doing that here in America where we do have rights and freedoms that have been given to us by God? Rights and freedoms that need to be protected and defended or they're going to be taken away and the gospel witness that this country has all over the world is going to be destroyed. So by serving this country, we are serving God, and we are serving the cause of Jesus Christ. For crying out loud, somebody explain to me why it is so God-awful horrible to take a stand for the United States. But Christians do it. I get all kinds of notes and letters and emails all the time. Kevin, you Fox River people, you worship this country. No, we don't. Now, we have an American flag here in the sanctuary. And we sing the national anthem and patriotic songs on national holidays. But notice, the flag is off to the side. The cross is in the middle. You say, well, Kevin, politics never saved anybody. I don't know one real Christian who thinks that politics can never save anybody. I don't believe that. We don't teach that here either. Well, Kevin, it's more important to save people than it is to save the country. Absolutely that is. But my question is, why can't we do both? We do here at Fox River. We preach the gospel. We talk about constitutional rights and freedoms. We talk about what's going on in America. And in the last 2 years, we have seen more people saved in this church than at any other time in the history of this congregation. Works for us. I got pastors who write me emails and say, Kevin, Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics. And you know why they say that? Because they're too lazy to investigate what's really going on with this country and too chicken little to talk about it in sermons. So they hide behind the four walls of their church and preach themselves into irrelevance. My God, how can you just sit there while the greatest, richest, freest, most powerful, most Christian nation in the history of the whole wide world goes to hell in a handbasket? For the love of Pete, why can't you take a stand for one nation under God? Illinois Times journalist Scott Reeder writes this about Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism is the misguided belief that America was founded as a Christian nation. Here we go again. And wait for it, because you know it's coming. He goes on to say, Adolf Hitler, there it is. Adolf Hitler was able to co-opt many of Germany's church leaders into supporting his regime, and Jews, Jehovah's Witnesses, outspoken Catholics, and others were killed by the Nazis. So the implication is, all of us Christian nationalists are Nazis. Yeah, that's what we're all about here at Fox River. And he let the cat out of the bag because, see, our next building project, we're going to build a concentration camp here in our 47 acres and a huge crematorium to gas and burn everybody who doesn't look like us and think like us. Are you kidding me? What an absolute joke. Adolf Hitler hated Christianity. And the Nazis weren't Christians, they were socialists. My God, could you get off the racist thing? Nobody cares what color people are. I don't care if they're purple with green polka dots, as long as they follow the Constitution. The biggest problem with America is not Christian nationalism. The biggest problem with America is people like Michael Curry and Scott Reeder, who hate Donald Trump so much and everybody who supported him. They are deaf and dumb and blind to the real greatest threat to this country, which is the radical left, which right now is trying to turn this nation into a socialist hellhole. Why doesn't Scott Reeder ever write a column about that? Folks, if loving Jesus Christ and loving this country and standing up for the right to preach the gospel makes us Christian nationalists, then guilty as charged. But for crying out loud, at least we have enough guts to stand up for what's right and to stand up for the things of God. The second thing we need to do in order to redeem the time, we need to stand up. We go on this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to redeem the time. We not only need to wise up, we not only need to stand up, but third, we need to look up. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verses 15 and 16. Look up to God. Because I know what a lot of you are feeling right now. You are so mad about this country and how the left is trashing it. You just want to go home, lock the doors, pull up the drawbridge, call fire down from heaven, and say everything can just go straight to hell. I'm done. And folks, I know exactly how you feel. But Christians, listen to me. We can't do that. So God says here, look up. Look at me. Set your mind on things above. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Don't look at Congress. Don't look at the midterms. Don't look at J.B. Pritzker. Don't look down at the world. Don't look around at your circumstances. Look up. Look at me. Look right here at me, God says. Because there is still a throne in heaven. And it's not Bill Gates or Dr. Fauci or Joe Biden sitting on it. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not lose this election because Jesus wasn't up for election and Jesus never loses anything anyway. Because He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. The master of all time, space, and dimension. You say, but Kevin, look up. But Kevin, they cheated again. Look up. Because He is still in control of all things. So calm down. Let's take a deep breath. Don't have a cow. God still got this. God still got this country. And God still got you too. So we're not going to quit or give up. We're going to look up. Because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And who are these uncircumcised Philistines that they should defy the armies of the living God? We're not going to lay down, we're going to double down. And we're going to share the gospel even more than ever before. Because the only red wave that really matters is the blood that flows from the cross of Jesus Christ for the salvation of people's souls. We're going to look up. Look up to God for justice. Because good luck finding any justice down here. Everybody and his brother is already calling now for pandemic amnesty. Let's just move on. Yeah, Dr. Fauci and the left, they locked us down and they stole 2 years of our lives, but they really did mean well. And they really did have good intentions. And they were just following the science. They were just trying to save people's lives. There was no evil intent behind what they did. We just need to let it go. Absolutely not. Not on your life. They killed people and lied about it. And they're still killing people and still lying about it. And if they're not stopped, they're going to do it all over again. Now, can there be forgiveness? Absolutely. Just as soon as there's some repentance and accountability. But folks, do you see that going on anywhere out there? Every single globalist and COVID terrorist who is behind the Chinese communist virus needs to be tried before an international court, found guilty of crimes against humanity, and then put away for the rest of their lives. Then come talk to me about amnesty. You say, Kevin, all you want is revenge. No, I want justice. But you know what? I'm not holding my breath for it to ever happen either. Our biggest frustration, bad people are never held accountable for the bad things they do. But look up. Because they will be. Because Acts chapter 17, verse 31, God has set a day in history when He will judge the world. So even if it never happens down here, it sure enough is going to happen up there. Every single one of them is going to stand before God. And there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Nobody's getting away with nothing. Every single thing is going to come out in the wash. Look up. And Christians, we especially be needing to pray for Joe Biden. Because he will go down as the worst person to ever occupy the White House in the history of this country. And he will die a lonely, brain-addled old man and stand before God and be sent to hell for eternity if he doesn't get saved. And Christians, we don't wish that on anybody. Keep praying and keep looking up. Christians, we got to keep looking up because these really are the last days. And all the signs are there. Joel chapter 3 verse 2 says, in the last days, God will judge and destroy all the nations that divide up the land of Israel. Last September the 21st, there's Joe Biden, Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid, announcing to the United Nations that they're going to carve up the land of Israel to create a Palestinian nation. That was September the 21st. Exactly 7 days later, September the 28th, 7, the biblical number for perfection and completion, September the 28th, Hurricane Ian, one of the strongest hurricanes to ever hit the United States, slammed into the coast of Florida. Just a preview of coming attractions. Last March, Joe Biden signed an executive order to start converting U.S. dollars to digital dollars and cryptocurrency. And all your financial information will be stored on a digital ID microchip that will be implanted in your right hand, your forehead, because that's the next step in the process. So with the push of a button, Big Brother will be able to monitor and control every single penny that you spend and thus control your life according to your social credit score and how well you toe the leftist line. And if you don't think social credit scores are ever coming to America, insurance companies, Airbnb, Uber, WeChat, TikTok are already using them. And early next month, the first pilot program for digital currency in the United States begins in New York City. It's coming, people. Just exactly like the Bible says it's coming. Keep looking up. Christians, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And it all has to do with Israel. And those two people right there. Back in the 1980s and 1990s, a Jewish rabbi in Israel named Menachem Schneerson was talking and prophesying about the Messiah so much, his followers among the Orthodox Jews started thinking he was the Messiah himself and even started calling him Mashiach, which of course he wasn't because he died in 1994. But in 1990, Rabbi Schneerson met an Israeli politician named Benjamin Netanyahu. And even though Benjamin Netanyahu was not yet prime minister and was never even considered ever having a possibility of ever getting the job, 1990, Rabbi Schneerson prophesied Benjamin Netanyahu would be the last prime minister of Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu would be the last prime minister. He would be the prime minister of Israel when the Messiah came and ushered in the Messianic age, a time of peace for Israel and the Jewish people. Well, Benjamin Netanyahu eventually did go on to become prime minister from 1996 to 1999, and then again from 2009 to 2019 and 21. But then in 2019, he was falsely accused of fraud and bribery. 2021, he was kicked out of office. And because so many of the Israeli people did not like Netanyahu because of his hard stand against the Palestinians, his political future was dead as a doornail. He was never coming back. Benjamin Netanyahu would never be prime minister of Israel again. All the prophecies Rabbi Schneerson made around him were just nonsense, and the Messiah was never going to come. But then guess what? Subsequent Israeli elections failed to produce a prime minister who could put together a coalition government. So last November the 3rd, amazingly, miraculously, right out of nowhere, the absolutely unthinkable happened. Benjamin Netanyahu was reelected as prime minister of Israel. So now all the Jews in Israel, especially the Orthodox Jews and the followers of Rabbi Schneerson, they are expecting the Messiah like nobody's business. Saudi Arabia has already offered to pay for the third temple in Jerusalem to be built. There's red heifers in Israel to sanctify the holy place. The Sea of Galilee is full for the first time in generations. All the signs are lining up. Rabbis all over Israel are so convinced that the coming of the Messiah is this close, they don't want to leave the country because they're afraid they're going to miss Him. Jews all over the world who don't live in Israel, but who own houses and apartments in Israel, are now putting clauses in the lease that say the lender gets out of the lease, it's void if the Messiah comes back, so that they can go back to Israel and live with the Messiah. Tens and tens and tens of thousands of Jewish people all over the land of Israel now are turning out for parades and marches and prayer vigils, expecting the Messiah. They're waving yellow and blue flags with the word Mashiach on them in the crown. HaMelech HaMashiach. Come, King Messiah. But here's the problem. Notice, none of the Jewish people are talking about Jesus Christ. And you know why? Because they're not looking for the real Messiah. They're looking for the false Messiah. Because see, all the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jews, all the followers of Rabbi Schneerson, even Benjamin Netanyahu, and I am so glad that he's prime minister for the strong stand he takes against Iran and terrorism, they're not Christians. They're not saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're rabbinical, but they're not biblical. Which means in the last days, they're going to fall for the powerful delusion, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, that the Antichrist is really Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 to 18 says, in the last days, right before the start of the Great Tribulation, when the Antichrist comes, Israel will not be ruled by a king, but by a group of scornful, religious, and secular people. Scornful because they've rejected the God of their fathers and rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. How is Israel ruled today? Not by a king, but by a group of scornful, religious, and secular people. Scornful because they've rejected the God of their fathers and they've rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. A group of people known as the Knesset, along with a prime minister. So folks, don't tell me the stage hasn't been set right now in Israel for the coming of the Antichrist. And the Jewish people will worship the Antichrist as the Messiah. And Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 says the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with them. The Bible says that's a covenant of death because it will bring death and judgment on the Jewish people during the time of the Great Tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble when God will judge the world and the nation of Israel for rejecting the Lord. So what the Jews will sign up for, even though they don't really know it, is not the Messianic Age. It's just going to be the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation before the Antichrist reveals himself for who he really is and all hell breaks loose. And here's the kicker. It was Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, that signed the Abraham Accords with President Donald Trump. Then when Joe Biden got in office, he took the Abraham Accords and added the two-state solution to it that's going to cause judgment and destruction on the Jewish people. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, that covenant that the Antichrist is going to confirm with Israel is Joe Biden's version of the Abraham Accords. And the question is, will it be Benjamin Netanyahu who confirms that covenant with the Antichrist? Is that why Benjamin Netanyahu came back from the dead to become Prime Minister of Israel? Folks, are we really, really that close to the appearance of the Antichrist? Because get this. The number 5 in the Bible is the number of death and judgment. November 3rd was the 5th election of Benjamin Netanyahu. This is the 5th term that Benjamin Netanyahu is now serving as Prime Minister of Israel. Joe Biden, who perverted the Abraham Accords and turned it into a covenant of death, is the 5th occupant of the White House that Benjamin Netanyahu has dealt with in his career. The year 2022-23 and the Hebrew calendar is the year 5783. In Judaism, that means judgment on the wicked and deliverance for the righteous. 5783. 5783. 5 plus 7 plus 8 plus 3 is 23. 2 and a 3. 2 and a 3 equals what? 5. 5 by 5 is the dimensions of the altar in the temple where the sacrifices were burned and destroyed. I could go on and on. You add it all up, people. All the signs are there. We are this close to the coming of the Antichrist. false Messiah? Stage left. But here's the good news. What happens right before the start of the Great Tribulation? What happens right before the Antichrist comes? Jesus comes in the rapture to take us home. In a flash. In the twinkling of an eye. So count me in, count me up, and people count me out of here. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? There's a whole lot of people going home by the signs of times. It won't be very long. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll soon be gone. There's a whole lot of people going home. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll soon be gone. There's a whole lot of people going home. And the question is, folks, are you going with us? God's ultimate best solution to these days being evil and the hell on earth that is coming on this planet is the rapture, taking us Christians home to heaven. But listen to me, here's the thing. You ain't saved, you ain't going. These really are the last days. The end of all things really is near. All the signs are really there. So more than ever before, you have got to know where you stand with God. You've got to know whether or not you are right with the Lord. You've got to know that you're saved. So if you're sitting here today and you're listening to this sermon and you are not saved or you don't know if you are, the nanosecond this service is over with, you've got to get up out of your seat. You come to the front of this church and you pray with somebody. You confess your sins to God. You put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross as the only thing that can take your sins away. And you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and come into your life. Today, time is short. Jesus comes back before you make that decision, it's going to be too late. Time is short. You need to redeem that time by coming to Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not after Christmas, today. Today, if that's you, the service is over with. You come up front and you give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. There's Christians listening to this sermon right now. Time is short for us too. Which means we need to be redeeming time as well. We need to be working the works of Him who sent us, for night is coming when no man can work. So Christians, let me ask you this morning, what are you doing right now that's sucking all your time that you need to stop doing so that you can do kingdom work? And what are you not doing right now that you need to start doing so you can serve the purposes of God in these last days? Christians, whatever it is you're doing, you need to increase it. You need to expand it. You need to build it up. You need to double down. You need to do it better and stronger and faster and more efficient because we are racing the clock. People are lost. This nation is lost and needs to be saved. And any second, Jesus is coming. Mark chapter 13, verse 36. Watch. Watch. Because believe you me, when Jesus comes again, you do not want to let Him find you sleeping. Let's pray. Lord, You told us to redeem the times, and right now You are telling every one of us, speaking to our hearts, what it is we need to do with our lives to redeem the time that we have. Just thank You, Lord, that You have laid it out so clearly in the Bible. Just thank You, Lord, that You have made it clear the times that we are living in right now. And I pray for one person, even one person here today, one person listening to this sermon, who has never made that decision for You, that they would come to know You today as their Savior. And know for sure in these last times, so uncertain times, know for sure where they stand with You. Pray, Lord, that we would be living with one eye to the sky. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.